Good morning. Praise the Lord. Well, it's another day that we get to worship God. Another opportunity to lift our voices and praise Him. You know, He is worthy of every single bit of praise that we give Him. And He's worthy of all the praise that we don't give Him. He's worthy of it all. We were downstairs praying before service, and there was a song that was talking about "Have Your Way." And, you know, Him having His way in this service is great, but really what's important is He going to have His way in our lives? Are we going to give Him the opportunity that He needs to do whatever He needs to do in us today so that in the coming days He's having His way? So I just ask you to just open your hearts. Open all of you to just receive today what the Lord would like to impart to you, whether it's truth, whether it's something to challenge your life, whether it's an encouragement for your life. Just ask Him, Lord, just reveal to me today, Lord, what You have for me, and help me to receive it, and then help me to walk in the grace, Lord, to have it accomplished in my life this week. Lord, we just thank You for this time right now, Lord. Lord, we are grateful, Lord, that we can gather together, Lord, as a family of believers, Lord, and watch You move, Lord. Watch You do the supernatural, Lord, in our midst. And Lord, we pray right now, Lord, for those that are still coming, Lord, those that are having to stay home because they're sick. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, that You would just touch all of the families, all the individuals, every heart and every life that's represented by One Life, Lord. And we pray, God, that we would be able to see You today, Lord, to see You, Lord, in Your glory, to see You in Your splendor, Lord, to see You, Lord, as You truly want us to see You, Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, we just thank You. Thank You, God, that You have chosen us, Lord. We didn't choose You, Lord. You chose us, Lord. And You chose us, Lord, to go and bear much fruit. So help us to be fruit producers, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
And come now, Spirit, when You move, You make my heart. I'm here and I thank you that you're in the room today. Thank you that you're in the room today. And we thank you that you're in the room today. I thank you that you're in the room. Touch of your spirit. Need a fresh touch of your spirit.
We want you, oh, come.
Jesus, we love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Yes, we love Jesus. been told to live my own truth, do whatever makes me feel good, get rid of boundaries, the rules are stifling, chase good feelings, soon will be gone, but I find myself more lost than ever, enslaved and bound to my desires, that's not freedom, Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus, every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I could honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image. Change coming. I feel the change coming. More of you, less of me. Transformation by your Spirit in me. That I know you. I know there's no one else for me. So the old. I find myself more alive than ever. My life laid down for your desires. Now this is freedom. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you, and resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image, into your image, make me like you, Jesus, into your God, praise me to God, a new life.
Next slide right there, the next one in the song. Praise be to God, praise be to God, you saved me from myself. Now, I don't know about you guys, but Jesus saved me from myself. I'm my worst enemy, not you. I'm my worst enemy because I am easily distracted. I'm sitting here and I'm trying to enter into worship and I'm watching these two little cutie pies up here just dancing around and just being free in Jesus, and I'm easily distracted. You know who else was easily distracted? Martha. Oh, Martha. She makes me see myself and I don't like that. But she was easily distracted. And she went to Jesus and said, "Don't you care? Aren't you concerned? Come on, Lord. I'm doing this by myself and my sister's just sitting there." And Jesus says with love, "Martha, oh, Martha." Like he loves her so much. He loves us so much. Don't be distracted. Be distracted by yourself or anybody else to enter into the most holy of holies this morning. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You saved me from me. So this morning, every Sunday morning, when these babies are dancing around here or the music is not being changed quick enough up above, you know, the words, and we don't know the next line coming, or people are sitting too close to me, or whatever it is, somebody singing off key, or whatever it is that distracts you, Jesus says, "Hey, don't be easily distracted. I care for you. Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy burdened, don't be burdened by the things of this life. Come to me, Jesus says. So this morning, Jesus, we come to you. We may have missed these songs of invitation to enter in, but Father, help our hearts to be drawn to you. Father, as Holy Spirit is pouring over, hovering over this fresh body of believers, this fresh water, Father, I just pray that we would just drink in as much as we can take of the Holy Spirit, of life, of joy, of peace. Be honored in our worship, Jesus. Even if it's not that great, help us, Jesus, to shut ourselves away with you and just honor you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for the opportunity that we get today to come heart to heart, to have your deep cry out to our deep, saying, come on, get a clue. Come on, I'm right here. Come a little closer. Jesus longs for us, and I pray that we long for him just as much. We worship you, Jesus. Help it to be in spirit and truth. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet one another. Get a cup of coffee. Don't spill it on the carpet. I have a cup. I can say that because I'm talking to myself. Don't laugh at me, Skyly.
Good morning. There I am. Good morning. I've missed you guys. I didn't get to be here with you last week, so this is really fun. I'm just going to breathe you in. Look at your faces. I get the honor of being able to do declaration today, and we're going to do the declaration over the heart of our house. And for those of you who are new with us, we do declarations because we want to, like, we believe strongly in the power of life and death in our tongue, and we want to speak to the things that we haven't seen yet, to make them believing and standing in faith that these things are going to happen if they haven't already. And already I'm starting to see certain things move and how God's just working in our church, in the heart of our people. So if you guys will stand with me in cadence, when I count to three, we will begin the declaration, okay? One, two, three. I declare
that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move against our moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and a right mind, and we declare that we are reaching out one life at a time.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we just give this house to you, Father. Every individual here, God, today would just be moved by who you are, Lord, that your presence would be so heavy on us today, Lord, that we would leave changed in one way or another, God, that our hearts would just be on fire for you, Lord. That as the service continues, Lord, that your presence would just become more and more sweet and more heavy, God. If there's any distractions that we came in with, Father, they'd begin to fall off right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So moving on, we have some announcements. First one being, we have a One Life Discipleship class that was put on Pastor's heart. He's just really burdened with this idea of really wanting to make disciples and just disciple people who are new to their faith, maybe old in their faith and just want community. But we're starting with our house. So you guys, if you guys have any interest in wanting to know more about the Lord that we serve and just walking through his word, then it begins next Sunday for 8 weeks, and it's at 9 a.m. downstairs in the fellowship hall. Capiche? You guys got that?
Capiche.
Awesome. Oh, there's a sign-up sheet. I'm sorry. Yep, that's what this is for. I'll start it over here if you've already signed it, awesome. If not, do it. do it. I'm just kidding. Sunday nights from 6:30 to 8:30 downstairs, we have youth. You guys, it is amazing. So amazing what God is doing in the young people of our city. And I am so, so, so thankful that we get to be a part of that. It's a small part, but it does big things, you know? And I know it's kind of a sacrifice. We're pretty far out here. And sometimes it might feel a little late. We're going to work on that. But we are, the things that God is doing in this particular up-and-coming generation is undeniable. You guys, like, they are growing up in a place where people are trying to redefine truth and tell them that certain things that are okay are not okay. It's in complete opposite of what God is wanting for them. And we get to come in beside them, champion them through those things, and help them to understand what truth really is and who He is. And it's amazing. And He is capturing their hearts. He is setting them on fire. And I am so, so grateful that our house gets to be a part of that. So if you know of anybody who has a youth-aged person that wants to come, if you are an adult and you have a heart for this up-and-coming generation, come and speak to me and Eric, because we could always use more leaders. We could always use more people to pour into these people. I believe in multi-generational influences where we learn from the older generation and they also get to learn from us. So, all right, I digress. Amen? Okay, women's Zoom meeting on every Tuesday, 7 to 8. That's with Gigi, and she is doing amazing things as well. God's moving so prevalently there. I think the women have become super bonded and are able to be there for each other in hard times and good. And then men's is Wednesday, also 7 to 8. Those are both Zoom, so if you don't have to drive anywhere, you get to just pull up the computer in the comfort of your home. Amen? And then tithe. You guys, we don't... We don't take tithe, we receive. So if you feel led by the Lord to put money into the house, awesome. But I encourage you guys just to be praying to the Lord. Where does He want you to sow that stuff, okay? But if you do feel led that it goes here, we have a box here. You can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com. Click give, it'll walk you through it. Amen? Awesome. Okay, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. We've got two coffees up here, and I'm not even drinking coffee this morning.
Thank you.
Like, wow, this is great. I get excited, knock them off, and then I have to, like, get a towel. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, we are week 10, part 10. Can you guys believe it? Of the Equipped for War. Someone was asking me the other day, how much longer is this going to go? I said, well, until Jesus comes back. No, it's probably another two more sessions after this. But I know that sometimes, guess what, we're backwards again. Okay, well, that's good. I can do this. I don't know why it does that, but it loads in backwards, so I have to start from the back. But anyway, this is important because we are warriors. We are people that are fighting the good fight of faith, as I communicated at the very beginning of this message. And we need to know what kind of weapons we have for our warfare. And really, our weapons, as we've been learning, is Christ Himself. And it's not that you know, he's a sword or that He's a helmet, but those are attributes that Paul used to explain characteristics of Christ. And that's what we've been learning. Let's go ahead and take a look again at Ephesians 6, 18, 10 through 18. You guys could probably read this yourself, but it's, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. How many about have that memorized by now? Maybe not memorized, but it's starting to sink into your heart. So today we're gonna do the second part of verse 17, and this is the sword of the Spirit. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I'm going to use three translations here to kind of break down a little bit more what this scripture is saying here, this particular passage of this section that we're doing. And William says, take the helmet of salvation. Well, take the helmet of salvation provides, and take the sword of the Spirit, take the sword of the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. So the Spirit is the one that wields the sword. It's not us. How many of you think when you think the sword of the Spirit, it's something that we're like, okay, I'm ready to take on. It's, and I've heard some people say it's the only offensive weapon that we have, but it's really the Holy Spirit that wields the sword. And we'll see that a little bit more in the scriptures, I believe. And the Complete Jewish Bible says it this way, and take the helmet of deliverance along with the sword given by the Spirit, that is the word of God. I like that. It's the sword that's given by the Spirit. And as we'll see, that the Holy Spirit is the one that initiates in us the word of God that is there to sustain us. In the CEV version says this, let God's saving power be like a helmet, and for a sword, use God's message that comes from the Spirit. So this is saying that the sword is a message that comes from God, and it's from the Holy Spirit. Everybody got that? Amen. So let's look at the sword of the Spirit. Let's see, where does this expression come from? Again, it's not like a weapon that we grab and we're starting to whack people with. You know, get in line in Jesus' name. That's not what it's about. If we look here in Isaiah 49:2, we see, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. Now, if you'll look, you'll notice that the my is capitalized. Now, that's not going to be the way in all your Bibles. New King James and other versions tend to do that because they want us to know that this is talking about Messiah. This is talking about Jesus. So in he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. So the Lord is declaring here that the Father has made his mouth like a sharp sword. So we see this communication from the Old Testament now that Jesus himself, his mouth is like a sharp sword. Let's look at another verse. I'm sure a lot of you know this verse. This is like one of my favorite verses. I have several favorite verses, but this is way up there. It's one that I recommend everybody to memorize, because what happens when you memorize this verse, you know the power of the word. And so you're going to appreciate the word more, you're going to apply it more to your life, and you're going to let it have its work in your life because you know that it's accomplishing something. So Hebrews 4:12 says here, for the word of God is living and powerful. So that right there should tell us that when we are reading the word and the Holy Spirit is inspiring us to, you know, to do something, change something in our life, or maybe just, like I said earlier, comforting or encouraging us, that it's showing that the word of God is alive. How many have read the Bible through before, or read certain chapters before, but then you read it again maybe 6 months later or maybe a week later? It could be the next day, and all of a sudden it says something different to you. It's like it comes from another angle. It goes into another place in your heart and challenges another. I said, well, I thought that's what that was about, but now it's about this. And that's because the word of God is alive. It's alive and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So here we have another reference to this sword being associated with the word of God. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we'll get into that a little bit later, those other things. And then Revelation 1:16, We see another vision of Jesus. This is John. He's on the island Patmos, and the Lord has now come to him, and he's revealing these truths to him throughout this entire 22 chapters of Revelation. At the very beginning, he's seeing this vision of Jesus. And part of this vision includes this. He had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. So what have we shown here? And in two specific verses, we've shown that the sword of the Spirit really is the word of God. It is Jesus. It is his communication to us. It is how he represents his word on the earth. So let's look at the word of God. The word of God. So the words in English that we have are, I would call it, poor. Poor at best compared to other world languages. We tend to use like tons of words to try to explain sometimes what one word means in other languages. And there are many words for certain words that we use a single word. And so it's because for whatever reason we're like an amalgamation of all the languages. If you go and you try to study certain languages, you can see that there's Latin roots, there's Greek roots in different ones. But then we've kind of made our own like mess. Even people who in England who hear us talk sometimes say, that's not true English, you know. But it's what we know, guys, right? It's what we guys know. What?
Give an example?
I'm about to give an example. I'll give an example. I'll show you how this word that we're going to look at, the single word in the Bible, can be translated many different ways. But for whatever reason, when it's in the Bible, we see it translated as just word. For instance, how many have heard John 1 where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That particular word there being used is logos. And it's where we get our word logistics. It's a type of word that comes like mostly in like a communication or writing, an instruction for like all of mankind. And we're going to look at another word here that's more individually driven. Let's take a look at it. This is the word rhema. Have any of you ever heard the word rhema before? Yeah. Rhema. It's what's that? Something comes from God, or a living person, or a spoken word. So we'll take a look at that. So rhema, is, as we look here, it's from the Greek word 4483, rheo, which means to speak. So the very essence of rhema means to speak. So how many of you heard like where it says, and in the Old Testament, God would speak, and then a prophet would hear, and then he would communicate. I believe they were getting like rhema words. They didn't have rhema back in the Old Testament. I believe that's what it's talking about. When Moses was at the burning bush, and he hears God speak to him, take off your feet, you're standing at holy ground. I believe that's rhema speaking to him, because it was God directly speaking. When you read like your Bible, and you're reading like through a whole chapter, and you read and you get like, oh, that's what happened, that's great, you know, and you're learning about what Jesus did in certain situations, or how we're to handle certain situations, that's like logos. But when you're reading it along and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, see what happened here, son, this is what I want you to start doing in your life, well, now that logos has become rhema to you, because God is now speaking to your heart. If we look here, it says it's a spoken word made by the living voice. So if I was to all of a sudden say, you know, we need to all leave the building for whatever reason, I'm giving you a rhema. It's a spoken word from my voice. Or if I'm here to say, hey, next week we're all going to be praying every day and fasting, and so no food for anyone. That might not be a very well-received spoken voice, but you heard me say it with my spoken voice. So it's a spoken word commonly used in the New Testament for the Lord speaking his dynamic living word in a believer to in-birth faith. And we'll see that a little bit later on. It's the in-wrought persuasion. In other words, it's like when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, And I'm sure all of you have dealt with this. Like you're doing something and you're used to doing it all the time. It's the way you've always done things. All of a sudden, God's like starts getting in your business and he starts telling you like, I don't want you to act like that, son. That's not how I designed you. Well, this is the way I've always been acting. I know, but I'm ready to work on this area in your life. So he's starting to speak to you and starting to say, you know, that's not how I created you. And however he chooses to communicate to you, that's that rhema speaking into you to bring you to a new place in God. That's what it's about. It's not so that we can be all knowledgeable and like be puffed up and say, wow, look what I know. I know all these truths and all these deep things about God and I can communicate them to anybody at any time. And so I'm pretty special. That's not what it's about. It's about being humbled by what the truth is going in your heart and you being able to say, God, have your way in me, like we were saying earlier. I bow to your will in my life. All right. How many have heard the vines? Highly recommend the vines. It's you can get it online. The way that the vines works. Most of you are familiar with Strong's. Anybody Strong's? Nobody Strong's. Boy, I need to have like a Bible study time in here. Strong's is where the Greek word, okay, let's go back here for a second. Little lesson here. 4487, that is the Strong's. That's the Strong's. So the way the Strong's works, it has a number, and then the word is represented by that number. And so the way the Strong works, it's like you take the word and then you get a definition. The way the vines works is like you get a word like word, and then it shows you all the different potential Greek words, and it will show you the Strong's with it. So what we're looking at here is the vines, and it says the significance of rhema as distinct from logos is exemplified in the injunction to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're looking at that, Ephesians 6:17. Here, the reference is not to the whole Bible as such, but the individual scripture which the Spirit brings to our remembrance for use in times of need. A prerequisite being the regular storing of the mind with scripture. In other words, for the Holy Spirit to bring back verses to us, what do we have to do? We have to get the verses in us. We have to read. We have to study to show ourselves approved, as Timothy says. We need to put in things in our heart instead of just a bunch of social media or whatever is out there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff vying for our time. A lot of things that want our attention. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with us living life and doing things. But when those things take over, the better, which should be spending time getting things in our heart, or not making any room at all for that, then the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to work in us. We don't know the word at all. Holy Spirit can come and I've had him speak to me things that I hadn't read before. But that's not the way it normally works. Normally, we get the word in our hearts. Holy Spirit brings the rhema and transforms us. So how many of you say, oh, Lord, transform me, change me? I mean, we do that at times. Maybe not. I do a lot because I look at Jesus in the scriptures and say, I haven't measured up to Jesus yet. So Lord, change me. Make me more like him. So for Holy Spirit to do that, he needs fuel. And the word is fuel. We'll learn that the word basically initiates faith in us to be changed. Some of us think, oh man, I'll never change. You don't know my background, Pastor. You don't know what I've been involved in. God bless his heart. He'd like to change me, but I'm beyond changing. That's not true. The Holy Spirit with fuel and fire can change us, but we have to be willing. All right. Hebrews 11:3. This is talking about the word of God now. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. What does that mean? Worlds being framed. That means that they were built. They were constructed. When we say the worlds, I don't know if it means just our worlds that we're in right now, or if it means other worlds. But whatever it is, they were framed by the word of God. It says that God spoke, and what happened? Let there be light. Light happened. God said, let there be fish in the sea. There was fish in the sea. God spoke and things became into existence. Now with us, he formed us out of the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life in us. That's how we were created. But the idea is that he spoke the word of God, the rhema of God, a living, speaking being, so that the things which are seen were not were made of things. Let me try again. The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This would solve a lot of people who study biology, study the whole galaxies and timeline, astronomers. We have physicists. If they got this verse and really got it in their heart, it would answer their question, because it's not from the visible where things have come from. It's from the invisible, and it comes from the word of God. He spoke it into existence. It says that he calls things, this is in Romans, he calls things that are not as though they are, because they are to him. That's like, again, I love this illustration. Peter is just now, you know, hosted Jesus in his boat, and while he was preaching to the people on the shore, and then Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, let's go out and, you know, let's cast your net down." "Oh, Lord, I've fished all night, you know. It's a great idea, but and I need some fish, but yeah, there's no fish out there, I'm telling you." "Oh, just do it." He says, "Okay, at your bidding, Lord, I'm going to do it." So he listened to the living word, Jesus. Then he goes and he throws his net out. And then all of a sudden he's calling his partners over to get all these fish. I don't know if you've ever seen like those on movies, but I mean, it's like, you know, boats are almost sinking from the fish that they're catching. So what ends up happening? Peter, a gnarly old fisherman or young fisherman, I don't know how old he was, all of a sudden says, "Oh my goodness, who is this? I've heard his words. Now I've seen this miracle. This is somebody special." And he falls on his face. He says, "Just get out of here, Lord. I do not belong in your company." His brokenness, his humility, because he now knows something's going on much bigger than what he thought of a guy just teaching from his boat. And yet Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, I'm telling you, you may look at yourself right now this way, but I see you differently. You're going to be catching men, thousands of men." It doesn't say thousands, but that's what ends up happening. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost came to Christ. But Peter was in his own view of himself. But the living word spoke to him and said, "Peter, there's more to you than meets the eye. There's more to you than just being a dirty old fisherman with probably foul language. You're going to be one of my apostles." He didn't say that, but that's what he was saying to him. "Rise up, Peter. Come on. You're going to start following me, and we're going to catch men together." Isn't that awesome? That's the way Jesus sees you. I mean, all of us, we see ourselves in our failures. We see ourselves in our shortcomings. We see ourselves in our state of loss. You know, all of the things that we could have had and we think we should have had sometimes. And like, I don't measure up to much. But God says, "No, son and daughter, you measure up to a lot. If you would receive my living word in you, you'll see how much you can measure up. You'll see how much I can use you for my kingdom and how much you'll be fulfilled in your life." Do you think Peter was more fulfilled being an apostle than he was a fisherman? I guarantee it. Because he was being finally who he was created to be. Yeah, his natural life showed what he was meant to do, catch fish, right? I mean, he really didn't change that much because he's still a catcher. But now he's catching people. You know, I bet if some of you evaluated some of the things that you love and some of your skills and stuff, and you think, "Oh, I haven't really done anything for the kingdom of God," you'd be surprised if you start saying, "Lord, you've given me these talents. How can they be used for your glory? How can these be used to increase the kingdom of God here at this time?" All right. This is another one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites verses. Does anybody ever struggle like your favorite verses? But this is a great one because it communicates right along with Hebrews 4:12. So what ends up happening is Jesus is now, after his baptism, he's gone into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. We don't know if he drank even. I mean, he was like seeking God and getting ready to come out in the power of the Spirit, as it says. But at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, it says that he was hungry. You think? And it says that the enemy came to him and he says, "You know what? If you're really the Son of God, you could change these stones into bread." You'd be able to, he didn't say it, but what he's saying is you can change these stones. You can get something to eat, Jesus, if you really want. But Jesus answered in Matthew 4:4, he says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So let me rephrase this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's go another step. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every spirit-filled, sword of the Spirit, word of God. So it's not just about us reading our Bible that's going to sustain us. It is the living word of God speaking to us. That's what's going to sustain us. If our world turns upside down, like it could, you know, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. It's going to be the word of God that sustains us. It really will be. And when I say the word of God, I mean the living spoken word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. I like your guys' amen. You sound like you're into it today. Okay. Last week it's like, hello, hello, hello. I can hear anything. Okay. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Remember this? Yes, years ago, you were the one, when I was sharing this scripture, you said, that's the rhema word. And it's like, never forgotten it. It is. It's the rhema word of God. So it's that word. So why do you think we're getting back to the sword of the Spirit now? Get your swords out. Think about it here a little bit. Get the visual going on. What does that have to do with being equipped for war? Well, it says faith comes by hearing. Remember, right? What is the shield? Shield of faith. Shield of faith. So they work hand in hand. It's almost like you need hearing of the word of God to really get faith. You need the Holy Spirit to initiate the word of God into your heart so that you can have faith. Faith for what? Faith for anything. Faith to go through a tragedy. Faith to go through a bad job interview. Faith to work with a coworker that every single day that you can't stand because they get on your nerves. Anybody else relate? Yeah. It's amazing how God always designs people in our lives that get on our nerves. Why does he do that? I believe he does that because he wants us to be the best we can be. What? You're saying that these people are there to make me better? Absolutely. If you'll submit to God and say, Lord, what you want to have them do in my life, speed it up. Maybe it won't be so miserable for so long. Just saying. All right. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is the rhema of God. So faith comes by hearing and hearing, in other words, hearing with your heart, and not just your ears, but your heart. You know, we can listen to messages on Sunday. We can listen to messages online. We can listen to songs. And if we're not listening with our heart, if we're just letting it just, you know, like run off of us, we're not going to receive anything. We have to really open ourselves up to hear. And hearing by what? The rhema of God. Amen. Okay, we're going to go back to Hebrews 4:12 again. I told you it's one of my favorite scriptures. So we heard about for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, but it's piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Now, some of you may not really realize this, but we're a triune being. We're made in the image of God. God is God the Father, God the Son, God Holy Spirit. And we've been made in his image. We're spirit, soul, and body. And so the word of God as a two-edged sword helps divide between soul and spirit. What does this mean? I believe it means that it keeps us in line. It keeps us in a way that our mind, will, and emotions are in check. Have you ever been like just led with a thought and you go and do it and later on you go, why did I do that? Because now I've got consequences that I have to deal with. Maybe you say something, a thought that comes to your mouth. Now, you notice I said it comes to your mouth. All of a sudden you realize, why did I say that? Because the sword of the Spirit wasn't working on you that kept you from getting into that area. And it says, and of joints and marrow. Years ago, I studied this, that the joints and the bone marrow, it's talking like this is surgical precision is what it's talking about here. You know, your joints and where the bones and everything meet, it's very minute differences. It takes like a scalpel to separate them. And that's what the Word of God does. It's like a scalpel. And it checks us. And, you know, if you're ever like saying, I just haven't changed much in my life through all this time as a Christian. Well, it's probably because the Word of God hasn't been having the entrance into your life that it needs to have. Keep in mind, who is the Word of God? Jesus. So really, we're saying Jesus hasn't had the entrance into your life. And then it says, and is a discerner and thoughts and intents of the heart. I love this because it's our intentions and our motivations that really make up the difference whether something is going to remain, in other words, it's going to bear fruit, or it's just going to pass away. It's going to burn eventually. It's not going to produce anything. And it's really our intentions. You know, it talks about this crazy thing where you could speak with the tongue of men and of angels. And you could have all knowledge. That means you could understand everything. That'd be pretty powerful, wouldn't it? But you know, if you didn't have an intention of love with that, it's nothing. It's noise. It doesn't produce a thing. You could give all your money to the poor. And you could even give your body over as a sacrifice to God to burn. But it wasn't based with an intention of love. It doesn't profit one thing. That's pretty powerful. So what is the Word of God going to help you do? It's going to help you to discern, to know your thoughts and your intentions. You'll be able to say, oh, this thought is not in the right intention. Father, help me to postpone this and doing anything with this until this intention is right. And it should be motivated by love. I'll have people, they'll tell me something. And it's like what they've been doing. I said, was it motivated by love? And they'll have to like, what's that mean? Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do, and you can waste a lot of time doing a lot of things, but if it's not motivated by love, family, why are we doing it? Even coming to church on Sunday morning, is it motivated by love? Are you ready to get around the brethren and hug each other and love on each other and encourage each other and look at each other in the eye and say, you're special. You are so valuable to God. Or are you just checking another box on the list? Another Sunday, 35 down, only have, what's that leave us? 17 or something like left, 52 weeks, right? No, it's not about that. It is about love. Everything has to center around love. You're saying, what's this have to do with the Word of God? Because the Word of God isn't even valuable if it's not based on love. And it is based on love. God's not up there wanting to beat us with the Word so that we'll submit to become something that he's forcing us to be. Yeah. No, it's a loving, graceful hand reaching us down where we are and trying to lift us up into him. Into the place he's at. In the seated in heavenly places place. In the places where all spiritual blessings are available. Now, I don't know about you, but I have not attained to all spiritual blessings yet. I don't know how they're going to manifest here on the earth, but I want to have everything that God has for me. I don't want to do this on my own. I just turned 64. This is where you're supposed to say, oh, Pastor, you don't look 64. Come on, guys. Yeah, there we go. Ah, John. No, anyway, the point being is that I've lived over 40 years now as a Christian. And I'm sure there's a lot of those years that I haven't had all that God has given me. Partly through ignorance, partly through my mind not being renewed, as it says in Romans 12:2. And partly because I have not let the Word of God always discern in me my thoughts and intentions of my heart. You know, it says life and death are in the power of the tongue. You think about that. That's talking about us. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. tells me that life and death come from God. And how we, in other words, how we receive God's word can change for us life or death. You know, Peter could have just said, man, you're all wet, dude. I know what you're saying there, but that's not me. And he could have walked away. And people say, no, he could not have ever have done that. Yeah, he had a choice. He had a choice to either give himself over to that rhema word that was speaking to him and said, well, maybe there is more to me than meets the eye. Or if you say so, you seem to know a lot. Maybe you see something in me that I don't see. But if he would have just said, nope, I can't receive that. We may have had another person preaching on the day of Pentecost. That's hard to believe. But Peter aligned with that word of God and it changed him. He was not the same person that got out of that boat walking the rest of his life. Now we see him struggling, definitely, when the rubber was meeting the road and he had to say that he was, you know, with Jesus and he couldn't say it. He basically, you know, betrayed him, or however you want to say it, denied him 3 times. But still, he was restored, and he became who Jesus saw he was. I'm going to leave you with this. This is the final verse. Now, this particular passage, Luke 1:37, can read differently in different Bibles. I chose the New Living Translation because it communicates, I believe, closer, believe it or not, to the Greek. Go figure. But it says this, for the word of God will never fail. That's kind of like all things are possible with God. Nothing's impossible with him. So what does that tell me? Well, if I let the word of God work in my life as I truly believe that it can, and I give it the room to work in my life, to change me, to transform me, to challenge me. Remember, I was praying at the very beginning to challenge us, Lord. Do whatever you need to do in me to make me who you want me to be. Why? Not so I can be somebody special, so that I can be who he designed me to be. And so the word of God, the rhema of God, that's the rhema again, the rhema of God will never fail. So the rhema of God will never fail you. In other words, if you apply yourself, just start reading and find something that you love in the Bible. Don't start reading Leviticus or something, because you know you heard it's a pretty trippy book to read. Start reading, you know, where, like the Psalms. The Psalms are basically like songs, and they're wonderful for your soul. How many have read through the Psalms before? How many have found like almost like a peace in the Psalms? Almost like an instruction for your very soul. David wrote the majority of the Psalms, and the sons of Korah and a few others, but really it's the majority of his Psalms. And he had a way of just bearing his heart out to God. In all of his, you know, he was king, and yet you can read in it, he was like very transparent with God. He did not put on any pretense. He said, God, this is who I am. You see how miserable I am. My enemies keep trying to kill me. And I know you're good, but, you know, I'm not always seeing you all the time there. But I know you're good, and I know you can save me. And, you know, he was just real. And it's something that a lot of us can relate to, I think. Another place to read is the book of John. Somebody is just now, I was talking today, reading the book of John. It's like the four gospels are amazing, and I love all of them. There's something about the book of John where you just see the miracle nature of Christ. You just see the godness of Christ in the book of John. You know, you see, not that he didn't do miracles in the other gospels, but there's something about the book of John that you just, it connects with you, and it helps you realize who Jesus is to you, not just a figure that you're reading about in history, who he is to you now in your life. You have a song for us? Lord, we just are thank you, Lord, for your word. We're grateful, Lord, that your word is like the sword of a spirit. And Holy Spirit, we give you permission to let your word have its full work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be like Peter and submit to how you see us. Not how we see ourselves, not based on our past, not even based on our present moment, Lord. How you see us, Lord, in you, who we're to become, who we're to be in Christ. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for every heart that is having a hard time hearing that they're going to be something greater than what they are right now, that they're going to be used by God, that they're going to be a blessing to others. I pray right now, Lord, that you would encourage them. You'd encourage them, letting them know, Lord, that because of your love, Lord, you're in the transforming business. You can change their lives so they'll never be the same. Lord, we just thank you that you have finished this work. That this isn't something we have to conjure up, Lord. We're entering into a finished work. That you've done something in us already that's eternal, Lord. Help us to align with that work. Help us to align with how you see us. The coming days, weeks, months, and even years, Lord. Let your word, let your rhema, your spoken living word, Lord, transform and change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day I live more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with your mind, new life.
Make me more like Jesus. Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, make me more like Jesus. Every day, just a little bit more, from glory to glory, make me more like Jesus. And crucify my flesh. What does that mean? That means dying to self. Put me up on the cross, Lord. Let my old life be put on the cross, and my new life in you be secured. Everything I do, just so I can honor you. Then resurrect me, separate me, sanctify me, and then make me into your image. That's the story of the gospel right there. And the word of God and the sword of the Spirit, it's going to work in your lives to accomplish that. Amen. Love you. Have a great day. Blessings.